You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Okay, we've got a trade team. They're departing soon, heading to Beijing, going to try to figure out if they can strike some kind of a deal with China. What are the odds of that happening? We're going to talk with Brennan Turner about that. Brennan is the CEO of FarmLead. Brennan, welcome to AgriTalk. Thanks for making the time for us. Are you there, Brennan?
Thanks for having me, Chip.
There you are.
Can you hear me?
You bet. We can hear you. Hey, Brennan, educate me before we get into the trade issues. Tell me about FarmLead.
So FarmLead is North America's grain marketplace. Any farmer, any size, any grain buyer, any size, any types of crops can come onto the marketplace risk-free, no cost to sign up, and post their grain deal that they're looking to do. You can negotiate directly with credit-verified buyers, of which we have over 700 different companies across North America, negotiate straight cash deals, basis-only deals, so you can lock in the futures at a later date. And we continue to grow. I mean, we have almost 10,000 farmers across the U.S. and Canada now on the platform looking for better grain prices. And when you see the prices that they are today, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. So is it specialty grains, or is it corn, soybeans, any of the major crops?
All of the above. Okay. Actually, as we pushed into the U.S. here in the past year, corn and soybeans have become our number one and number two most traded crops on our platform. And I should mention, it's not just like straight cash deals, but guys are doing basis deals. And one of the interesting things is that 80% of the deals that are closed on the FarmLead marketplace, 4 out of every 5 deals are FOB the farm. So a farmer doesn't have to worry about the trucking, sitting in line at the elevator, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Well, if corn and soybeans are 1 and 2 on the site, we should start off talking about soybeans and the threats that that trade with China are facing right now. We've got that trade team headed off to China. It's a pretty impressive group that we're sending over to Beijing. I think it's an indication of how serious the Trump administration is about getting a deal done, isn't it, Brennan?
I would have to think so. I mean, this has to be the number one priority for the U.S. administration, in my opinion. I mean, obviously, maybe you and I are a bit biased coming from the agricultural industry. But when you consider 1 out of every 3 rows of soybeans that are planted in America have historically ended up in China, this is a pretty major hurdle that a roadblock potentially that we're facing here. So, obviously putting a lot of trust in these people and as you mentioned, a pretty significant team going over there. So, confident they get the job done, but it's not going to be an easy task, I think.
Yeah, and it's really the timing of the whole thing is very interesting to me, Brennan, because we keep hearing that NAFTA is down to the fine print, that we're very close to finishing up that deal. Well, now we're taking Robert Lighthizer, the USTR, and sending him over to Beijing while supposedly we're finishing up NAFTA. So the timing of this is pretty interesting.
I mean, there's a lot of different irons in the fire, that's for sure. There's the TPP that keeps coming on the table, and then it's off the table, and you've got Europe that's on the table with the steel tariffs, and then they're off the table. I mean, every day is bringing new headlines, but I think the U.S. administration is taking the right path and making the Chinese trade situation number one on their priority list, and it needs to be, really. I mean, given the economic impact that could potentially create, currently does have today, we got to make it number one.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, no surprise, I don't think, no surprise that the Trump trade team extended the exemption on the steel and aluminum tariffs on products coming from Canada, Mexico, the European Union. No surprises there. Were there? Did you see any surprises in the announcement from last night?
No, I mean, I think historically speaking, if you look at if you have any insider knowledge on how President Donald Trump has historically done deals, it's pull and ask for a lot from the beginning and then draw it out, and then get 10-20% better than what you're kind of expecting at the get-go. So I think putting those tariffs kind of on the back bench and giving the exemptions to Canada and the U.S. provides, you know, just a good rationale for other trade factors that are, I mean, because let's be honest, I mean, there's a multi-hundred-billion-dollar trade situation between Canada, U.S., and Mexico, and it's one of the best and most economically opportunistic regions in the world, and why shouldn't it stay that same way?
Right, right. Hey, you said it, that we currently ship or have shipped about one out of every three rows of soybeans over to China. Their appetite for protein is unbelievably huge. It's an appetite that can't be satisfied by Brazil or Argentina alone. Does China have a choice in this, or do they have to come to the U.S. at least in the short term for some soybeans?
I think the answer is yes in the short term. You're continuing to see that. I mean, you saw, despite what is usually supposed to be harvest pressures happening in Brazil at this time of year, their prices at the port are 50 cents to 75 cents a bushel higher than what they are out of New Orleans and some of the other ports in America for soybeans right now. And that's pretty significant. That's an indicator that America is still a cost-effective producer and shipper of product. And why wouldn't China want to buy from America for that reason? Now, I think there's a lot of companies in China that are taking advantage of the situation while they can and locking in opportunities and locking in shipments while they can. But at the same time, even if doing the math and kind of doing the runaround of how do you displace somewhere between 35 to maybe 40 million tons of U.S. soybeans, there's only so much that Brazil can provide. There's only so much that Canada can provide. There's only so much that Paraguay or Chile or even Argentina, if they were to produce a crop, would be able to provide going forward. So there has to be significant substitution effects. And now you start talking about corn or barley or sorghum or canola meal potentially. It just doesn't add up. So even if we were to see some sort of tariffs, I would say, Chip, that you're not going to see a 25% cut in the price of soybeans. It's going to probably, worst case scenario, and we can't get something done over there right now or in the next couple of weeks and months, I think you're still going to see soybeans act pretty favorably because you still have to see Brazilian prices start to come down in order to basically compete with U.S. prices right now.
Right, right. You know, it is pretty amazing what's happened to the bean prices down in Brazil as those producers are bringing a crop into the port locations. It's just, I don't want to say that we're stuffing the Brazilian farmers' pockets full of money, but doggone it, it feels like we're stuffing their pockets full of money, Brennan.
I mean, that is the reality, though, I'd say, Chip, of kind of a globalized trade dynamic, right? There's more than just the price that's going on. We have currency effects. They have geopolitical risks themselves within their countries, some political issues with their government in terms of some corruption and whatnot. And, frankly, we don't have to deal with that in America or in Canada, for that matter. I mean, we have the luxury of a generally pretty transparent government process, and our dollars is not as impacted by what necessarily happens all the time in Washington, D.C., whereas in places like Brazil or Argentina, every single move that's getting done is moving the peso in Argentina or the Brazil real, a couple percentage points. And that's means that the risk to the cash price that a farmer's getting and earning on a bushel of soybean is so volatile that it's like, am I getting the actual best price? Should I hold out? And the other thing to keep in mind, in those countries, in Brazil and Argentina, the main competitors, we could argue, for the American soybean, we don't have to deal with the fact that they have significant double-digit inflation rates, they have double-digit interest rates, and as a result, the cost of capital for them to do business is a lot higher than it is in America. So relatively speaking, yes, it looks bad, but when we put all the cards on the table, I think that the net win goes to the American soybean farmer.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Now, longer-term impacts here, real quick, Brennan. Could this inspire some expansion, some growth in the Brazilian soybean industry?
I think it has to. It's not going to slow down. We've seen the soybean acreage in Brazil continue to grow, and the way that farmers down there are using the technologies that we've kind of been implementing over the last couple of decades, and their adoption rates of those technologies very quickly, just means that we're going to see more and more production going forward. And truthfully, I mean, this is not necessarily a negative, because I think demand for feedstuffs is going to only increase as well. As you know, you're starting to see increased demand out of the Middle East. You're seeing increased demand for feedstuffs in other Southeast Asian markets. And net, I think we're still going to be better off in the long term.
All right, Brennan, thank you so much, buddy. I sure appreciate you sharing your views on this with us.
Thanks, Chip.
And, you bet.
Have a safe planting season, everyone.
Oh, sounds good. Thanks, man. That is Brennan Turner, CEO of FarmLead. Coming up next, we're going to talk the RFS and waivers with Bob Dineen from RFA.